Welcome. Waiting for that mad feedback to... Oh, there we go. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting on AmericanFreedomRadio.com for your listening pleasure. Now, I'm supposed to be having a guest join us, Kevin Galilee, but unfortunately it's like 5 a.m. where he is, and there was some confusion about time zones. So I don't know where he is. Or if he's going to join us, so I will have to do what I have to do in order to wing it and run the show the best way I know how. I just, ironically, recorded an hour earlier with two members of the Mungify Ratepayers Association. I'm sure those of you in the rest of the world won't have any idea what the heck I'm talking about. Well, the one thing I've noticed about this world and this country is that almost everything that happens in it will have a reflection somewhere else. It's virtually identical. You change an accent, you change a name of a law or something of that nature, but it's the same thing. And this is the real nasty part that I've had to deal with just recently, that somebody had $5,400 taken out of their account by the ANZ Bank in order to pay unpaid rates to a council in which tried to get a rates increase of 1,800%. That's right, 1,800% increase in their rates to pay for some kind of sewage system. Isn't that freaking disgusting? And then to put the person in risk of having his house taken off him because now he can't pay his mortgage because they took all his cash. Isn't that like the pinnacle of scumbaggery? On top of that, the council was replaced by a bunch of these commissioners who just get appointed. There's no elections. There's no accountability or anything like that. They're there to basically just foresee the resource extraction out of the local populace, is what I've been led to believe. Does this sound familiar to anybody living in any city in the world? I'm sure it does. And sure enough, they increase your rates. Sure enough, they don't deliver the services. Sure enough, they beat around the bush and they dodge and they pass the buck and what have you until almost everybody's broke except them. Because even to prosecute them in a court or anything like that, you wind up having to pay for both lawyers, paying reparation fees and so on and so forth. Isn't that kind of like a nasty, nasty way to commit a coup? No bullets, no uniforms, just urban camouflage, i.e. a suit. This is how the world is being taken over. And every part of the world is probably affected by this to some lesser or greater degree. You know, these are first world problems. Oh, we're having our rights taken away and our land and our freedoms, etc. But it's not like we haven't got food, even though the government's eating us out of house and home. It's reckless endangerment of society. A few years down the track, maybe even 20 or 30 or maybe even 100, you won't even recognize what society looks like. Heck, anybody transported from the 70s to today and everybody's walking around with a frickin' Star Trek phone would have a schism fit of some description. It was terrible how fast humanity is advancing in terms of technology and lifestyle, but how fast we're also devolving into tyranny and stupidity and dangerous health consequences. Let's think about the stress factor here. Okay, imagine this. You just got your money taken out of your account by the bank. You didn't know that was coming, and now you can't pay your mortgage and you might lose your home because the bank stole from you. Yeah, breaks me heart, eh? There's not really much to say, is there? We're on talk radio, so probably better think of something, I guess. It's beyond a joke. the level of nastiness, that brazen, uncaring nature to literally use people as some kind of a resource to skim a little off the top, like a mining corporation, except instead of doing real work and extracting resources and processing them, you merely have a look at all the people who are doing all the real work and extract them, extract their excess income in order to pay for your mindless BS projects, which you weren't planning on building anyway, which 90% of the money gets pocketed into some private hand or another. They got it all stitched up, mate. Now, I was thinking, like, as these people were talking, and it's a shame that I can't play you the interview live on air. Don't know about the segment, Lisa. There's a lot of growing pains going on with American Freedom Radio right now. Let's just leave it at that. But the guy who's the head of the Ratepayers Association is campaigning right now during this big Northland by-election. You know, the whole country is like really into it. It's a big thing. And he's only using the election campaign platform to push his issue. Not to get elected. His issue is that criminals have basically taken over local government. And I said, that reminds me exactly of a Facebook post that I put up not too long ago. You know how the political parties have all these members, rules, goals, etc., and yet somehow they never seem to accomplish squat in terms of peeling back scumbaggery from this country? Well, what if a new party was founded called the Independents? You know, like independent plural. With no hierarchical structure, merely an umbrella of independent candidates, activists, and researchers around the country who are only really interested in exposing scumbaggery. In essence, it's hijacking the election platform and turning it into an activism tool. Over my years, I've seen activists of principle, honor, and dignity all over the nation who will not bow to tyranny. They've researched the real problems the country faces and can clearly explain them to an audience. Now, don't misinterpret this as me thinking elections change things. Think of this as a way of bringing people together who know that they don't. A way to change the methods of electioneering from vote for me to here's the real facts that none of the other guys want you to know about and don't want to solve either. Candidates in all districts of the country standing up and being counted in their own way is something the country needs now. We need them now. And when no one else will do it, the responsibility falls to those who can do it. Wouldn't this be an interesting way of electioneering? Wouldn't this be preferable to this bipartisan BS? I think so. I don't know how to organize something like that. Register as a political party? I don't know. I just come up with ideas. And if anybody wants to take them and run with them, go for your life, son. Ideas are free. Statistically, the average person comes up with like $3 million ideas a day. They're not prepared to implement them, though. And it's because sometimes, you know, you've got a life. Now, questioning whether or not the elections matter, I would wonder, at what point would you have to admit that they really do matter? Okay, I mean, Senator McCain versus Obama, everybody goes, Obama would be great. And then he borrows more money in his first term than all previous presidents in the entirety of history combined. Same thing happened with John Key, elected in 2008 on a campaign platform of change, representing a blue national party. And then in his first term, he borrowed more money than all previous prime ministers combined. It's stitched up. At least, at the very least, the two main parties in everybody's country is totally freaking stitched up. And whatever they're saying that they're going to do that sounds nice, they tend to just be paying lip service to it and then shaft you with it later on. I mean, have I missed something? Or have I just been paying attention this whole time? And everybody else seems to forget. I mean, my goodness, how many videos are there online of your elected state official or whatever lying blatantly? And then other clips of them saying the direct opposite things earlier or later on or something like that. Just clearly showing that they're completely full of crap. The problem is that if you believe in that person so strongly, you will reject the notion that they're full of crap. Even if you see it for yourself, you will still reject it. Because you then have to admit that you were duped. All right, people get duped all the time. Doesn't necessarily mean you're an idiot, stock stamped and marked for life as a fool. Sure, everybody is foolish once or twice in their life. But, you know the old saying, fool me twice, shame on me. You're being fooled multiple times. And so many, many people need to be so utterly ashamed with their voting self to keep continuously supporting the cacophony of scumbaggery that is the bi-party line. Literally the bi-party line. They just give you the money to whoever they want to win. Look at the elections. 2008. Who were the biggest campaign contributions to Obama and McCain? Why, the same massive corporate frickin' banks. And who did they finance twice as much as the other candidate? Well, they financed Obama twice as much as the other candidate. And who won the election? Well, Obama did. Wow. Maybe that's just a conspiracy theory. Oh, the person who gets financed the most by the ruthless criminal bankers who practically frickin' own and run everything wins the election? It doesn't take a genius to work it out. Extraordinary. Extraordinary scumbaggery of the highest order is what we're talking about. So bad is the notion of these people and what they want to do with all of us that it's completely outside anybody's possibility to even perceive it. It's so bad that you can't even see it. That's how bad it is. Is this not extraordinary? Is this not terrifying? Why in the effing heck does anybody work anymore? You know? I'm just thinking about, I can't do it. I can't work on anything except exposing scumbaggery and helping the people who are victims of it. I understand everybody else has got responsibilities and what have you, but what about a responsibility to the continued survival of the free human race? Sitting back on the sidelines hasn't exactly won any historical battles in history. When you're surrounded by war, sooner or later you're going to have to pick a side. And not making a decision is also picking a side. I think we all best remember that. That is often one person who just goes, No, I'm not going to put up with it. I'm going to expose your scumbaggery. Expose it, I say. One person doing that. Boom! You'd be surprised what they can accomplish. Is it any wonder that people who are really, really motivated and won't take no for an answer, who don't feel that they even have a choice, who must react, who must resist, regardless of their chances of victory, is it any surprise that those people have the most significant effect on the human condition? Who teach us things about who we really are and how much power we truly have? Those individuals are meant to be looked up to, but instead now, today, they are being trodden upon by extremely nasty people who have no conscience and whose hunger, whose greed will never be satisfied. A bottomless pit that can never be filled. an endless eating machine that devours all in its path. You can't negotiate. There's very little you can do to work with these people. That's why you need to work against them in every element of your life. Doesn't matter how simple it is. It comes down to the food you purchase, how you treat other people, how many times you smile and laugh every day, how many jokes you tell. Because just because we're being enslaved by ruthless criminal sociopaths doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being slaves? We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom and loyalty. The founders of AFI wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Vaccine, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
Everybody talking about gun control. Gotta get rid of the guns. I like guns. You got a gun, you don't have to work out. I ain't working out. I ain't jogging. You don't need no gun control. You know what you need? We need some bullet control. We need to control the bullets. That's right. I think all bullets should cost $5,000. You know why? Because if a bullet costs $5,000, there'll be no more innocent bystanders. Every time somebody gets shot, they'll be like, damn, he must have did something. So they put $50,000 worth of bullets in his hand. And people will think before they kill somebody if a bullet costs $5,000. Man, I would blow your head off if I could afford it. I'm gonna get me another job. I'm gonna start saving some money, and you a dead man.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
We all know that they're not telling us the truth. So stand up for your rights, demand the real medicine, and your right to use it and grow it. This is Rick Sensen, and you're listening to American Freedom Radio.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that feeds back, kind of like a bulimic at an all-you-can-eat salad bar. My very special guest is the one, the only, the sensational, the fabulous, well, somewhat, former producer of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, Mr. Mitch Santel. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Mr. News. How are you, my friend? Located, 10,000 kilometers south of the Fourth Reich, the chemtrailed, fluoridated, Nazi-infiltrated country formerly known as the United States, yes?
Well, you see, when you said United States, I thought you were talking about New Zealand.
Well, didn't New Zealand join NATO?
Yeah, we did, bro. Like, John Key, skipped over to, I think, Geneva over a weekend. He's like, comes back, yeah, we're signed up to NATO now, bro.
And oh, God.
They're like, oh, yeah? Well, isn't that the North Atlantic Treaty Organization? He goes, yeah. Well, aren't we a South Pacific country? He goes, yeah.
Do you know the best video, Vinny, you ever made during the 5.5 years that I lived in New Zealand?
Which one?
It was the video of your master and general's servant, John Key, who was being questioned by one of your regular guests, Penny Bright, about the stock that he owned in Bank of America. And he totally cringed. You did a great job. I love that video.
Oh, that was that was shot by a friend of mine who's no longer with us anymore. He went to his funeral last year. He was the one who filmed it.
Wow. But
New Zealand, one of the banks that we loan money off, and I think it's it must be over 100 billion we've loaned by now, for a population of 4 million people. Wow. One of the banks we loaned money off is the Bank of America, which incidentally swallowed up Merrill Lynch, with John Key had huge amounts of shares in, and was one of the big head honchos. So that all his shares got folded into Bank of America. And Penny's question was, how much is he personally profiting from New Zealand's growing indebtedness?
That's incredible. Well, since you were kind enough to put me on your show, I wanted to give you my take of what's going on in the United States, which is not freaking me out. It would have if I had not lived in New Zealand, but it's pretty amazing.
Well, regale me.
Well, first off, I live in South Orange County, in Southern California, in a town called Mission Viejo, where the median income is $93,000 here, and the unemployment rate is 5% here. So every day I get up, get my morning paper, and I look up at the chemtrailed sky and I go, wow, I'm in the Truman Show. So I live in one of these very bizarre areas, Vinny, where it's still functioning. You know what I mean? And I must see at least 10 or 12 new cars on the road every day. And so it feels here like everything is kind of sped up and everyone is so busy with their own stuff, they don't have time for anything else. I mean, it's really interesting.
It just sounds to me like the Orange County is basically the band that still keeps playing while the ship is sinking.
Orange County is pretty similar to what you have in New Zealand called the North Shore. So if you're familiar with the North Shore, and I know you are, it's like the North Shore, you know? So it's a trip. But the speed up, and every 2 seconds in America, there's some lawsuit that's filed, you know? And it's just, it's unbelievable what's going on. And what's really nice is that, you know, partnering with you and producing your show for 2.5 years, which I will tell you was probably of my 57 years on this earth, was probably 2.5 years of the best time I ever had. And I loved working with you and working with Danny Romero. And it was just a great time. The time that I had in New Zealand to research so many of the topics that you cover on the Vinnie Eastwood show, I really don't have time to research in the States because it's way too fast here. It's too fast. It's crazy.
Well, that's what they call rush hour, right? And you'd know
exactly
about that living in here, Los Angeles.
So I want to let you know that as challenging as it was for me and you on American Freedom Radio to launch your show, promote your show, get guests every day, the biggest attacks I've had in my life, Vinny, were when I came back to the United States, because the normalcy bias, the cognitive dissonance, the Hegelian dialectic, it was born here. It's out of control. I mean, everyone is, you know, more concerned with, you know, whether they got the latest Apple Watch or iPhone 6 Plus than they are. I mean, it's just bizarre. I mean, what's going on in New Zealand? I mean, what does it feel like there right now?
Oh, it just feels like more or less the same thing, man. People are so stupid, they think the Frankfurt Institute is a hot dog stand.
Oh, God. And do they know anything about the Lisbon Treaty that John Key signed?
No, they don't have any idea about that. They think Lisbon is like Elizabeth Taylor's brother or something.
Oh, my God. So I want to let you know that after being put down and discarded and left on the side of the road for a year, that I launched my own website called Remnants and Luminaries. It's not hard investigative research. It's simply my commentary and analysis on a weekly basis of what I think is going on. So,
is that a strong weekly basis?
I don't know. It depends if I'm feeling weak that week. So I don't really know.
It was quite funny. Quite funny when my wife got sick the other day, and she was coughing a bit, and then she said, "Oh man, I need to take a week off." And I say, what, you're taking a week off because you've got a week off?
Exactly. So I want to ask you, because you're the host of the Vinnie Eastwood show, without Will, I wanted to find out, what does it feel like when you have a guest and then they don't show?
Oh, I don't know. It actually just gives me a chance to get a lot of stuff off my chest. I've learned to try and deal with it maturely. There was one guest who, forced me to stay up at a really inconvenient hour, and then he didn't even show up, and I was like, I guess I'm a little bit peeved, but bugger it. You know, it doesn't matter.
Well, I'm going to tell you that between me and Danny Romero, who's running the board and is still a newbie, that the best shows that you have ever done since you launched the Vinnie Eastwood show are when a guest doesn't show and you start ranting. And the bigger the guest is, the angrier you get because they didn't show, and you just start going off on the police, the court system. You just start going off on everybody, man. It's great.
Well, I think it's because I try to imagine myself as a guest. Okay, I'm a targeted individual. I'm under attack. I've got all these people who want my attention. I've got all these flying emails and all these different time zones and all this crap going on in my own life, and I'm getting busted, and I'm spending time in jail and spending time in court and preparing cases, etc. And then somebody else comes at me really, really angry-like because I accidentally forgot to turn up to a radio show at a set time or whatever. So the frustration only really exists in live radio. When it's a pre-recorded or something, it doesn't really matter because you don't have an audience to fulfill the needs of in a very pleasurable way. So, you try and channel that anger away from somebody who doesn't deserve it into the basic problems that we all really do understand and attack the living heck out of it because you're so pissed off just in that particular moment.
Wow.
It does feel quite cathartic.
Yeah. Well, the idea of me starting my website, Remnants and Luminaries, was basically to put commentaries on there, you know, that and put dialogue on there that you can't have with your own family. Because with one of my brother-in-laws, I attempted, you know, to tell him that the banks create debt, you know, create money out of debt. And he told me he didn't care. And then we met up again for a cheeseburger, and I explained to him how the underground economy works. And he told me he wanted to choke me. So after that, I decided it'd be better to launch my own website than to tell my family what was really going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, family can't handle it, eh? It's actually much worse when it is family. That's why I kind of just don't broach the subject with them anymore. They know what I do, and they know that I'm reasonably successful at it, so they just kind of, you know, have that sort of modicum of respect but keep at arm's length sort of thing with these particular topics, which I suppose is better than me kind of like ranting at them like a born-again Christian truther.
Oh, my God. Oh, don't get me started. So if we have a couple more minutes, I would like to tell you what happened to me when I got back to the U.S., because I think it's really interesting.
Excellent.
I actually got hired to produce a truther show, and I was really excited about it. And I was given like a $3,900 iMac, you know, with all the bells and whistles. And I was signed on a one-year contract. And I became the producer of the Hagman and Hagman Report. And so I had a Navy SEAL in my house. I mean, it was bizarre. I was kind of doing for Doug Hagman, Vinny, what I was doing for you. I was not just producing a radio show. I was really partnering with the Hagmans to actually break stories. And so we ended up having a guest on the show who came on. And I'm sorry to say that guest was verbally, sexually harassing one of our listeners. And I went to the Hagmans and told them that they were being harassed. And I said, you need to probably ban, you know, this guest from your radio show. And long story short, I was fired the next day. I didn't get my last paycheck. I had to send my iMac back to the Hagmans. And then I woke up to what's really going on with the alternative truther movement. And I want to let you know that in terms of your show, Vinny, in terms of Danny Romero, in terms of American Freedom Radio, that American Freedom Radio may be the only network left on air in the alternative media that has not been infiltrated by COINTELPRO. Maybe the only one left.
Yeah, myself and Suzanne Posel came to that conclusion when AFR went offline more than 18 months ago. And I had so many networks. She had so many networks, like, you know, in some cases, like literally begging us to come on their radio shows. And I put it off for like well over a year until I thought that American Freedom Radio wasn't coming back. And then I wound up only doing 2 months on another network before Danny messaged me just saying American Freedom Radio is back. And it was like this great weight off my chest.
That's great. And then I got to tell you, I have so much love in my heart for Danny and his wife and their family. And I got to talk to Danny the other day, and it felt like coming home. And what really was really sad for me about AFR, you know, were all the stories that came out when it went off the air. And I just want your audience to know that the only place as a radio producer I've ever been able to produce or book guests.
Mitch, you're breaking up really really badly there. Do you want to quickly drop out and then come back in? I mean, we're coming to...
Yeah, am I still breaking up?
Yeah, you're breaking up really massively there, Mitch. Just quickly hang up, and then you should be able to re-add yourself to the call just quickly there. Because I really want to hear what you're saying, bro. This has been, it was tough times without American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio says you're coming through loud and clear. It's just for me, apparently.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll just have to take over the show for the next 20 minutes. I'm just kidding. Do you want me to hang up and try one more time?
No, you're coming through fine. Sorry I interrupted.
Yeah, so anyway, it's typical. Whenever you get to a crucial point, you know, you always get cut off. What else is new, right? So I just want to honor and acknowledge Danny Romero and AFR and being back on the air. And it's so great because so many of the other networks that I won't even mention, they've been so compromised. And it's just great to hear you on air, and I'm glad everyone's on air. And it's crazy. And with everything I went through in New Zealand, believe it or not, Vinny, I'm actually safer being back home, because in New Zealand I was kind of a stranger in a strange land, you know. But if the time comes that you come to America, I think you have a lot of fans over here. I think they would love you.
Oh, dude, like, I've just been thinking about it, like, the last couple of days. I talked to Bob Tuscan the other day on the radio about coming to Free Your Mind conference or getting a thing. And then synchronistically, a little advertisement comes up on a YouTube video I'm watching for Air New Zealand, one way to Los Angeles, $650 New Zealand dollars, which is like $400 US.
Wow. Wow. Well, if you decide to do it, I got a room for you rent-free. So get on the plane, get over here.
I wonder if I can make it through the radiation plume.
let's talk about the radiation plume, shall we?
I think we're coming to break, actually, very shortly, as we should have already. Oh, there we go. All right. Thank you very much, Mitch, for stopping in. Sorry we can't discuss the radiation plume, but my scheduled guest has arrived.
No worries. Well, thank you for giving me a segment. God bless you and your wife and Danny, and have a great night, and thanks for your time.
Right back at you, my very good friend, Mitch Santel, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spray the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Has your heart been pounding? Feel short of breath? Got high blood pressure or problems sleeping? Heart disease is a leading cause of death. Being surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and poisoned water has a cumulative effect as we enter later life. Medications that only address symptoms ensure these problems persist, while your family and finances suffer. It's time to work with the body and its own innate ability to heal itself. Heart and Body Extract is a natural, organic herbal supplement that restores balance. A heart attack could be just around the corner. Spare your loved ones pain and fear. Protect yourself, protect your health with Heart and Body Extract. With a lifetime money-back guarantee, you have no excuse. Order a two-month supply today. Call toll-free 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I believe that if we are to form a new country, we cannot be a country that appears war-hungry and violent to the rest of the world. However, we also cannot be a country that appears weak and unwilling to fight to the rest of the world. So, what if we form a country that appears to want both?
Yes. Yes, of course. We go to war and protest going to war at the same time.
Right. If the people of our new country are allowed to do whatever they wish, then some will support the war and some will protest it.
And that means that as a nation, we could go to war with whomever we wished, but at the same time act like we didn't want to. If we allow the people to protest what the government does, then the country will be forever blameless.
It's like having your cake and eating it too.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Remember, remember the 5th of November.
American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
And welcome. That's some real bad feedback still. All right, there we go. It's gone. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest, Kevin Galilee, now joins me from 5 o'clock in the freaking morning. Welcome.
Well, good evening, New Zealand. I believe I am addressing a New Zealand audience. I'm speaking this time to you from Bucharest, Romania.
Bucharest. I heard they got some nice bed and breakfasts there.
I wouldn't know. I'm staying with family.
Okay. Well, just for the tourism, I'm just making a really terrible joke about booking a rest somewhere. That's just terrible. Okay, anyway, Kevin, we haven't spoken in a while, and I know that you've always been busy, even since before I know you. So what have you been up to?
Well, I've had the pleasure of speaking to your audience on three separate occasions, twice, if I'm not mistaken, in 2013 from Canada. And the last time in 2014 from Rome, Italy. At that time in Rome, I was on a hunger strike at the Vatican City. And that hunger strike ended in June of 2014. And I have remained in Europe ever since. In the meantime, I have published two books, one of which is extraordinarily important. Because I was asked by people from all over the world to provide proof that there is indeed a depopulation program going on. It appears that my five previous books were not sufficient to some people who still prefer to disbelieve the facts. And so I have provided incontestable scientific proof of genocide in a tome of a book, a document really, that numbers some 1,060 pages. It is called Peace Without Poison and provides incontestable proof of genocide for every country in the world, 2,004 nations and some 20-odd semi-independent territories.
to help. This thing's really, really big. It has been going since the UN kicked off, didn't it?
Yes, this program started in 1945, at the end of the Second World War, and has continued by leaps and bounds, enveloping in the meantime every country and every continent on Earth. Only four countries are really still outside the realm of the global depopulation policy for African countries. And
by chance, are those African countries massively have a massive AIDS epidemic anyway?
Yes, as all other...
Nobody escapes the clutches.
They because that is one of the methods by which countries are forced to join the global depopulation policy.
But well, also, on that note, South Africa claimed that they were developing race-specific bioweapons, and I think the first three recorded cases were within South Africa, I think, within a couple of miles of a U.S. Station that was there for bioweapons research.
And that was undoubtedly part and parcel of the global depopulation program. But just for your audience interest, the countries that are still not subsumed by the global depopulation policy are Mali, Niger, Somalia, and Somaliland. All others are at various stages in the demographic transition, which is the euphemism used for used by the international community to describe the stage at which any given country has entered the global depopulation program.
So almost every country is currently at the whim, and if you're not already at the actual focused whim of it, you've got all other things affecting the population growth, food shortages, epidemics, etc. It would occur to me as well that it's about conservation of resources ultimately, and currently resources are controlled primarily by the elite bankers, aren't they?
Well, the book that I have just recently published, Peace Without Poison, it demonstrates, or rather shows, confirms several aspects of the global depopulation policy. It has been used to justify, depending on time and place, several concerns of the global of the international community. And all of them are sound. They are, and I'm going to number them. There are eight in number. One, to subdue the Axis powers, Germany, Japan, Italy, and their co-belligerents at the end of World War II. Two, to defuse tensions along the Iron Curtain in order to prevent war between the East and the West, between the communist and the capitalist blocs. Three, to end wars such as those in Vietnam and Korea. Four, to preserve precious resources. Five, to keep volatile borders quiet, such as that between North and South Korea, or that between Pakistan and India. Six, to promote development, especially in Latin America and Southeast Asia, but really throughout the world. Seven, to lift countries out of abject poverty. And Africa is a prime example of that. And last but not least, to save island nations from rising sea levels due to man-made climate change. And the primary example are the islands throughout the Pacific region. So all of these reasons are fully justified, and population control has been used to address all of them.
So it's been justified. How? We're all gonna die unless we kill everybody.
The data shows that in every country that has introduced population control measures, and let me make clear from the onset that I am no friend of covert depopulation measures, but that I advocate for overt population control measures. The data shows, and this is incontestable scientific data, that every country upon introducing population control measures and reducing its total fertility rate, that is the number of children per woman, by more than 50%, or the point at which it reached the replacement level fertility, that is 2 children per woman, it began experiencing a boom in the gross domestic product. So, in other words, affluence is entirely the result of low fertility. No country on earth has succeeded in attaining affluence without first attaining low fertility. And that is a brutal, but a brutal fact, but a reality that we must confront. So the economic element has been crucial in the implementation of population control measures, regardless of place and time, of continent, of culture, and even of religion.
And haven't eugenicists been saying this kind of stuff for long since before the UN was founded?
I am not sure that they have ever spoken about this openly. In fact, the argument has been reversed, namely that low fertility follows affluence, and this argument has been used again and again in order to hide the use of covert methods of depopulation. And of course, it has been rather easy to do that because the time at which affluence begins to grow, that is the GDP per capita begins to grow, coincides almost to the month in which a country attains a lower fertility, a half of its fertility rate, or replacement level fertility. So the international community has actually used affluence as a way of hiding the use of covert population control methods. I am not aware of overt discussions about the implementation of covert methods of depopulation in order to attain affluence. That has never happened.
You're certain it's never happened, or you're just certain it's never happened in the open?
Oh yes, most certainly. The main argument to convince a country to join the pack has been that, if you join, you will sustain, you will reach affluence or prosperity, and you will be able to sustain it. That is how they have the depopulationist, or rather the globalists at the United Nations have been able to convince every nation on earth. And the reality is that that is indeed the magic formula. If you do not, the countries that have not joined the program of population control, or that have joined it late, have had terrible economic conditions, have succumbed to poverty, have fallen into the poverty trap, have experienced war as a result, and all kinds of social upheaval. Whereas the countries that have joined have reached a level of affluence, have had social stability, have been able to avoid war, but a slew of other problems have followed, because nothing works forever. So the countries that are now, for instance, in the fourth or fifth stage of the demographic transitions, and in that category fall mainly Western countries or developed countries, now are faced with a slew of other problems, not least
like,
of which...
Like, ironically, in the U.S.'s case, endless war.
Well, the U.S. has played a central...
Hold on, Kevin. We're coming to break now. We'll just talk about this after we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Kevin Galilee. Please, if you want to support this broadcast, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and make a donation today. Or if you'd like to start up a monthly recurring donation, we'd very much appreciate that too. We'll be right back.
Constant stress from wireless radiation. What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These
wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom and loyalty. The founders of AFI wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Vaccine, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what your promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist capitalist scum f***s who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room, and this little film screen comes down, and a big guy in a cigar, roll the film. And it's a shot of a Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before. That looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll. And then the film, the screen goes up, and the lights come up, and they go to the new president. Any questions? Just what my agenda is. First we bomb Baghdad. You got it.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Everyone's asleep. We'll be right back.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, bro.
That's right.
Now, I don't know where that feedback's coming from. I think it's coming from you, Kevin, actually. So if you could turn the volume down just a tad.
Yes.
By about half. That'd be nice. Okay, good. I can't hear myself. I like it that way. Kevin Kelly is my very special guest. Now, what I wanted to go into is the definition and the indeed the distinction between what you oppose, which is the covert depopulation, and what you support, which is the overt depopulation. Because, of course, it's a very controversial topic, and a lot of people might get like straight out of thing and start yelling at you, calling you a eugenicist and all of that kind of thing. But the problem is when you're coming up with scientific findings to justify a particular belief, if those scientific findings are actually there, changing that belief based upon ideology seems a bit silly.
Well, I departed from the position that population control of any kind is unjustifiable, morally reprehensible, and that under no circumstances should government interfere with human fertility. Of course, I kept an open mind, and I have come to I've asked myself throughout this time, you know, why would perfectly decent people, the very people we elect and supposedly respect, and the very institutions that we trust with our rights and liberties and with our health, why would they all, without exception, commit genocide? Why would countries, you know, of all political colors, of all cultures, of all religions, of all corners on this earth, why would they all agree to pursue covert depopulation measures? I had to find out the reason why. There had to be a reason. You know, all of these people cannot be insane. They cannot be mistaken. There must be a reason to their common cause, if you want. And I have dug, you know, deeper and deeper, and found out what motivated them to do so. The motivations are sound, and the rationale between population control is sound. It is a substitute to war, and the rationale is this. In case people have not heard me talk about this in previous interviews, if every country on earth controls its population, stabilizes its population, so that its population neither grows nor decreases, then every country on earth can live within its resources and does not have to start wars of aggression against neighbors out of desperation because it has run out of national resources. The international community arrived at this understanding, at this discipline, if you want, because this requires extraordinary discipline, in 1945, when it became perfectly clear that if it comes to another world war, this time it would be a nuclear confrontation that would end up in the assured mutual destruction of all parties. So what is the point of fighting a war if you cannot win it? So this aspect of nuclear deterrence has forced national leaders and the international community to find a substitute to war. And that substitute to war became population control. And ever since, every country that wants to belong to the international community and wants to coexist peacefully on this finite planet has to control its population. Of course, this is easier said than done. I described for each and every country, each and every of the 204 existing nations on Earth, the methods by which they have accomplished this, the time when they started, and how they have accomplished their goals. But I began writing this book with three objectives in mind. First, to provide incontestable scientific evidence of global genocide, and I have. The second, to force heads of state and the international community to abandon covert and embrace overt methods of population control. And I'm in the process of doing that, and I'm sure that I know that behind the scenes, the United Nations is in a tizzy, and change is coming, and it's coming fast.
Kevin, right there. Can, yeah. Oh, sorry. finish, please.
And to do so, to change from covert to overt methods by declaring replacement level fertility a global security prerogative and to enshrine it in international law at the global governance level. And what do I mean by covert methods? I mean that the responsibility for a replacement level fertility for two children per woman or per couple must fall on the shoulders of every woman and man on this planet and not be pursued covertly by governments out of desperation. If we are informed citizens, if we are told the facts, if we are presented with the inescapable reality that unless we limit our own fertility, the population will double every 30 years, and sooner rather than later, we will all have to fight for the last grain of wheat, and will destroy and devastate, you know, every pristine piece of nature left on this planet. Then everybody will understand that this is a relatively small price to pay to limit ourselves to just two children. If we don't understand this, if we refuse to understand this, if we are not told and we don't have a chance to understand this, then governments will continue to poison us into infertility, and in the process will continue to damage and to degrade the intellectual and genetic endowment of the human species to the point when none of us will be able to reproduce. Already a quarter of all Western lineages are dead. They are infertile, and they don't have any offspring, and therefore have been terminated. That is what is at stake.
So basically the two choices are, A1, we don't really have any population control, and we go extinct via overpopulation, or we covertly control the population and then make the fertility level so low that we go extinct, or we voluntarily or by any other means necessary reduce ourselves to two children per couple, and then we don't go extinct. Is that about right?
Yes, and governments have agreed behind the scenes and have acted in concord to poison us throughout the world through the basic elements of life. And you can imagine that this is not an easy decision. This is these are crimes. These constitute crimes against humanity of the highest order, without precedent in history, that make Stalin and Hitler and all of the other unsavory characters throughout history look like babysitters. But the paradox in this choice is that the people who have chosen to commit these crimes this time are not lunatics. They have done so with the best intentions and in order to preserve us from far worse, that is nuclear annihilation, mass starvation, and environmental devastation. Occupying these positions of power, they had to act. Confronted with the data, which is incontestable, that if they do not act, all of these things, these terrible things will happen, they have acted. And they have probably waited and hoped that one day somebody like Kevin Galilei will come along, will spill out the beans from outside the system, because those within the systems are bound by confidentiality laws not to whisper a single word about the ongoing genocide. They have been praying to be saved from hell from somebody like me, and here I come along, and in 2012 I spilled the beans. And ever since, the United Nations and the international community has been in a state of frenzy, if you want. And I believe that in 2015 they're going to announce some extraordinary changes. I'm receiving feedback from all corners of the international system, including intelligence services, that this is indeed the case. I'm being encouraged not to stop. And I have even the presidential support from many countries, tacit support, not open support, obviously, because every head of state is bound by these confidentiality agreements not to say a word about this. This has the potential of throwing the world, the global population, into a complete chaos a self-destructive frenzy. Because when people lose respect and trust in the institutions of government and in the in their elected officials, what is there left to keep society in one piece? Nothing. So now basically the international system is being reconstructed from behind the scenes to something that will include all of us rather than exclude all of us, because government since 1945, for all intents and purposes, has existed solely to wage, or primarily to wage, a covert war of attrition against our genetic lineages. And this is a brutal, brutal reality that most people have the intellectual ability to comprehend, but they do not have the psychological strength to accept. And they prefer, therefore, to turn their backs and to pretend that they're not hearing, they're not seeing, and they're not understanding that this is going on. So they are in a state, the majority of the population who hear this, and now, of course, it has become a subject that is being discussed, at least in the alternative media, the majority of the population is in denial.
And is there a plan for, like, one of the things that people are really fearing, and I think they might be misunderstanding the point here, is forced depopulation, where basically people are rounded up and exterminated. That's what people are really, really concerned about.
Yes, and if we allow the international community to pursue this hidden agenda and to act only with the best interest of an elite in mind, and to exclude us from well-being and from the future, then this is exactly where we are heading. But I believe that we, if we now push as hard as we can, and if everybody who knows about this makes it their second profession to speak up about this, we have an 80% chance of turning this around this year, and forcing the international community to make some extraordinary changes so that the global governance level is basically democratized and we're all included in the future. And I don't know what you have planned for the rest of the show, but I would like to be able to go and present a few countries and show to your audience how particular countries have pursued population control, to what effect. And because it's very interesting, it's an exercise for most people that will force them to accept, to face the brutal reality, and to understand that these decisions have been made at the executive level. The alternative media is being now bombarded and misinformed by people from within the system, by shills and people paid to deceive the audience, the public. These people have to understand that this decision has always, to pursue population control or not to pursue, has always been made by the heads of state and heads of government in every country. The United Nations has presented the facts to the leadership of every country as they are elected. And these leaders have a chance to either take the advice of the United Nations and the international community or not to take that advice. If that particular country is a developed country, let's say, or a nuclear power, then they have no choice but to take the advice, because no nuclear power is allowed to allow its population to get out of control, because it would pose a terrible threat to international peace. But the smaller countries and countries that are not developed have been given the choice to stay out until at least very recently, until the 1990s, or in several cases even the beginning of the 21st century. But if you're okay with this plan, then perhaps I should start with New Zealand.
Well, I would, but one thing I was thinking about was when I get up every morning is how many things that are around me on a day-to-day basis that are like poisonous or causing some kind of infertility, whether it's sugar or electromagnetic radiation coming out of the wireless router or dirty electricity or goodness knows what, a BPA line, plastic, etc. I was wondering, how does Kevin Galilee see the world walking around just trying to eat and drink and go to bed?
Knowing what I know now, knowledge is empowerment, I dedicate every living second of my life to shutting down this program, because everything else that I would do, regardless what position I would occupy in any institution, whether private or public, irrespective of what fortune I am being paid, it would be a complete waste of my time. Every one of us is now paying for our own extinction. And the more money we make, the more money you make, the more money you pay into your own extinction. The entire system has been turned upside down to function as an eradication machine, so that humanity is brought to a stop by humanity, because only man can stop man. This sounds, and it is, very insidious. The methodology is diabolical. But here's the paradox. The intentions are benevolent, and had this not been done since 1945, we would have long been finished.
Now, Kevin, I'm going to have to stop you right there. I think we're coming to break right about now, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening, and I think we will be right back if that music starts coming up. Listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Vaccine, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. Blue Shield comes in three models: a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about Blue Shield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Blue Shield banner. Blue Shield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
On election day, I stay home. I don't vote. I don't vote. Two reasons I don't vote. First of all, it's meaningless. This country was bought and sold and paid for a long time ago. The shit they shuffle around every 4 years doesn't mean anything.
And secondly, I don't vote because I believe if you vote, you have no right to complain. People like to twist that around, I know. They say, well, if you don't vote, you have no right to complain. But where's the logic in that? If you vote and you elect dishonest, incompetent people, and they get into office and screw everything up, well, you are responsible for what they have done. You caused the problem. You voted them in. You have no right to complain. I, on the other hand, who did not vote, who, in fact, did not even leave the House on Election Day, am in no way responsible for what these people have done and have every right to complain as loud as I want about the mess you created that I had nothing to do with.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio. Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't do this all. Superman. I'm no Superman.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio 4 days a week. If you happen to be in Romania, it's like, what is it, like 4 or 5 a.m. there at the moment? It's like 5:24 in the morning?
Yes, it is almost 5:30. Full spring here, by the way.
Dedication to the cause, ladies and gentlemen. Seriously, if you have to pre-record something in the middle of the morning or something like that, if it's inconvenient to you, that's what you've got to do. I'm going to be pre-recording something with somebody at 5 a.m. myself pretty soon. My former producer is going to be hooking it up with a lady who's been able to cure autism on occasion. But, yeah, it is really about dedication to the cause. And, Kevin, very much thank you for yours. I presume, like many people who have dedicated their lives to something greater than themselves, you must have lost quite a few things along the way.
Well, the international community has made sure that I have lost absolutely everything. It started in 2011 with the first arrest. Then the Canadian authorities cooperated with the international community and falsified my medical record to create the impression that I'm delusional. So in other words, to destroy my credibility and my reputation. I countered that with three independent psychiatric reports that show that I am perfectly mentally sound. And, of course, I continued to publish, irrespective of their intimidation. Subsequent arrests followed, six in all. I've spent 1 year behind bars. My family has been taken away from me. I have been barred from, illegally, I might add, from seeing my children because I purportedly pose a threat to them. I have not seen my children in 4 years. I have not slept in my own bed in 4 years. I have had to flee Canada clandestinely in the middle of winter in 2012 to escape a fifth arrest so as to be able to continue my work from outside the country. I have spent more than 2 years in exile. I have been deprived of all my property, including my intellectual property, which to this day has not been returned to me. The list goes on and on and on. I have even been made three offers for millions of dollars if I keep my mouth shut, all of which I've refused. because I could not possibly live with my own conscience, knowing that I am a party to genocide, and that I would contribute through my silence to the extermination of the vast majority of the human race.
A friend of mine at a party one night, Kevin, he asked me, Vinny, if somebody offered you $50 million to just stop what you're doing and stop trying to help humanity and all of that kind of stuff, would you take it? And I said, yeah, sure. I'd take it and I'd give the majority of it to other people who are like better at exposing it than me. And he says, no. But you'd have to sign a contract that you'd never engage, support, or do anything in order to get that money. And I thought about it. $50 million, you say? He goes, yeah. I was like, I couldn't do it, bro.
Well, let me give you an idea of what an offer of this nature is like and how they present it. First of all, they corner you in a place where they have full control of you. And this second offer was made to me while I was in jail. I was held in pretrial detention for 9 months. And after about 6 months of psychological warfare against me, if you want, time during which they tried to convince me to that I will never see the light of day, that I will never be freed again, that I will be put into isolation for years, that nobody will know I'm there, and so on. Once they realized that I do not succumb to that kind of pressure, then they made the offer, and they said this. Well, Kevin, we'll open a numbered Swiss bank account for you, and we will deposit every month as much money as you want. However, you cannot say a word about this, and the reason you are being paid month by month is to make sure that you are not saying a word about this. At that time, I also wrote the book Killing Us Softly in jail, or at least part of it, and they insisted that I give them that book and that they will publish it, they said, of course, under an anonymous name. Of course, that would never happen. But this is how they do it. They keep you on a leash, and those people who have accepted these offers, and I'm sure they are in the thousands probably, they work within the system most likely. They're kept on a leash by being paid on a month-to-month basis to keep their mouths shut.
So we're talking about like full-on torture tactics, and then coercion. Well, I say torture, I mean psychological torture is different from physical torture. Isolation, sensory deprivation, that sort of thing. Not being able to be out in the sun, etc., etc., etc. These are all things designed to wear you down. And if they can't break you, they try to deal with you. And if they can't deal with you, they got no other alternative but to keep you locked up or try and kill you or something if they can find you.
Yeah, I know that since the 1980s, they're not allowed to assassinate in the name of this program. Or at least I had a pretty good idea. And I confronted them with this. I said, listen, if you people are not willing or able to put a bullet in the back of my head, because that is the only way you're going to stop me, then you'll have to work with me, and you will have to let me tell the truth to the people, and henceforth I will dictate the direction, and you, meaning people in the system, dictate the pace. And I must say that is exactly what they have done. Little by little, they have allowed me to speak. They have not harassed me anymore. They have not arrested me anymore. But they keep me, however, piss poor, so that I am constrained in what I can do. So I cannot travel. I cannot, open my own website and so on. I am barred from any kind of employment other than menial jobs. And of course, I've not even done this because I could not possibly do the amount of work that I do. I have published 10 books in 3 years, and this last one, as I said, is 1,060 pages long. It is full of data. So I have worked, I have produced a titanic amount of work in order to break through the system, in order to force the system to act, in order to force them to confront the reality that if they do not act, we, the people, have the right to line them all up and basically shoot them point blank for committing genocide. for poisoning our children. At the same time, you know, I'm fully aware of the fact that had I been in their position and had to choose between nuclear annihilation and mass starvation and environmental devastation or population control, or even covert population control, since overt population control was not possible and it is only now possible, I would have probably done the same thing. And I would have cried myself to bed every night, knowing that I'm going to burn in hell one day. So these people have not had it easy. I have a lot of empathy for them. What I do not have empathy for is the people who, the common people who continue to shut their eyes and to pretend that they're not subject to genocide, that the world can continue to the world population can continue to grow, that we don't live on a finite planet and we have, you know, unlimited resources, and that we can double every 30 years ad infinitum. That's, you know, that is ridiculous. That is contrary to reason. It is contrary to everything. And that is unacceptable. This policy cannot be changed unless people wake up and say, yes, we're willing. And the people in the system are waiting for that. They're waiting for signals to see that we have reached critical mass, that let's say about 10% of the population understands. And it is always a 10% of the population who lead the way and the rest follows like sheep. That these 10% are understand that we don't have a choice. It doesn't matter what government is in place, you know, what promises they make. These are demographic and material realities that are unavoidable. These are dictated by the size of our planet, by our consumption patterns, and by our level of civilization. The more civilized we are, if you want, the more industrialized or post-industrialized we are, the more we consume per capita. Therefore, the fewer of us can be on this planet to consume these limited resources. It is simple math. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out. But for some reason, it is as though the world is under an evil spell that prevents them from seeing, from looking, from understanding this very simple reality.
Yeah, I blame Madonna. The distraction from reality, I think, has become a profession, more or less, as a very, very well-oiled machine to prevent anybody from knowing anything real or caring about anything of consequence. That's kind of a generalized phenomenon that I've begun to take notice of. And as you said earlier, you wanted to actually break down a number of the different devices by which the covert depopulation agenda is being implemented, and you said you were going to start with New Zealand. I'm sure my other fellow flightless bird Kiwis would like to know a lot about it.
Yes, and since I'm speaking to a New Zealand audience, I want to also read the letter, word by word, the letter that I wrote to John Key, the Prime Minister of New Zealand. I'm not going to repeat this exercise for the other countries, but since your listeners are New Zealanders, I think they will find this letter interesting. And this is the
Technically, we have a pretty international audience, but there's a lot of New Zealanders that do listen.
Yes, and I will go on with the other countries as well, but I'm going to read this one letter to show you the kind of tone that I used to all heads of state, because I've addressed each and every one of them for all 204 nations. And then I provide, I spend 3 or 4 or 5 pages for each country providing the demographic and the scientific data to prove my case. So here we go. Prime Minister Key, this letter was written, by the way, on the 17th of September 2014, regarding immediate cessation of covert depopulation measures. Civil society is rightfully outraged about your lies with respect to New Zealand's participation in the Five Eyes Alliance, alongside the US, UK, Canada, and Australia, the illegal program of mass surveillance that violates the right to privacy and the fundamental rights of every human being on the planet. Through your participation in this supranational program of surveillance, censorship, and oppression, you have set yourself above the law and have betrayed the very people you're supposed to govern. Imagine how outraged the people of New Zealand and the world will be when they find out that your government and the entire international structure of global governance are poisoning humanity into extinction to accomplish the engineered demographic transition that was embarked upon in 1945 as a substitute to war. People have yet to realize that the program of mass surveillance conducted by your government and its other four allies, and that in the meantime has coerced a total of 69 nations, is not intended to protect us from Islamic terrorism, which is an Anglo-Saxon invention, but to enable the suppression of the truth and of our rights and liberties until such time as the vast majority of the world's genetic lines are terminated. You are playing with fire, and you will get burned, because I, as a father and a citizen, will not allow you or anyone else to poison my children and my fellow men into sterility, chronic illness, and early death, regardless how lofty the geopolitical reasons behind such measures may be. No one is interested in a new world order that deprives us all of our rights and liberties. No one is interested in a new world order that poisons us into extinction and in the process renders us chronically ill and mentally retarded. No one is interested in a new world order that can only be propped up by filthy lies and despicable deception. Eliminate all endocrine disruptors from food, water, beverages, vaccines, and air, and outlaw their use now and forever, or you will soon face a firing squad for your complicity in crimes against humanity. Seize all psychosocial and economic measures to subvert the family and social well-being, or this and future generations will be spitting on your grave. The world must and will legislate population control, for that is the only way to legally, ethically, and honorably defuse the overpopulation bomb, and thus secure international peace, preserve natural resources for future generations, and save the planet from environmental devastation and future generations from famine and misery. If you need my help to change course, I stand by to fly to New Zealand to speak with you privately and assist you in every way I can. Sincerely, Kevin Galilee. And that is the format that I used and the tone that I used with every head of state. I don't spare them. I take them to task.
Well, Kevin, you wrapped it up just at the right time when the music's coming on. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Has your heart been pounding? Feel short of breath? Got high blood pressure or problems sleeping? Heart disease is a leading cause of death. Being surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and poisoned water has a cumulative effect as we enter later life. Medications that only address symptoms ensure these problems persist, while your family and finances suffer. It's time to work with the body and its own innate ability to heal itself. Heart and Body Extract is a natural, organic herbal supplement that restores balance. A heart attack could be just around the corner. Spare your loved ones pain and fear. Protect yourself, protect your health with Heart and Body Extract. With a lifetime money-back guarantee, you have no excuse. Order a two-month supply today. Call toll-free 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Nobody questions things in this country anymore. Nobody questions things. Every one of those items is provably untrue at one level or another, but we believe them because they're pounded into our heads from the time we're children. That's what they do with that kind of stuff. They put it in the heads of kids. They pound it in there because kids, they know kids are too young to be able to mount a sophisticated argument against these kind of ideas. And so kids, and up to a certain age, by the way, kids are going to believe everything a grown-up tells them, everything. So kids never learn to question things. Nobody questions things in this country anymore. Why? People are too fat and happy. People are way too prosperous for their own good. Everyone's got a cell phone that'll make pancakes now, you know? So nobody wants to rock the boat. And people just gizmo. Americans have been silenced, bought off and silenced by gizmos and toys. And as a result, no one's ever learned to question things. No one questions things in this country anymore. No one questions things.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Tune in to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, 4 nights a week, 9 to 11 Central, on American Freedom Radio.
The words of that song, and nobody's going to take me alive, you and I must fight for our rights. Kevin Galilee is my very special guest, and I would like to now run through, we've only got one segment left, a couple of maybe 10 minutes or so. Can we run through some of how the covert depopulation agenda actually works here in New Zealand in terms of contamination of food, air, water, etc.?
Yes. Well, first of all, New Zealand adopted covert methods of depopulation in 1962, and the total fertility rate dropped from 4.3 children in 1961 to 2.1, thus to replacement level fertility by 1978. So already in 1978, New Zealand reached the first goal of the global depopulation policy, which is replacement level fertility. But it did not stop there. It went even further to a lowest low of 1.88 children per woman by 2002. From 1978 until today, the government of New Zealand has succeeded in poisoning its people into infertility with such precision as to be able to keep the total fertility rate between the range of 1.9 and 2.1 children per woman, thus smack on replacement level. So New Zealanders are being treated no better or no worse than lab rats.
If we're being poisoned, what's the poison? What's the delivery mechanism?
Well, the government has accomplished this demographic miracle with fluoridated water, which was first tested in the city of Hastings in 1954, And after a commission of inquiry held in 1957, its use was rapidly expanded throughout the 60s. And since 1980, the government of New Zealand has also added bisphenol A, BPA plastics, and epoxy resins to its sterilization arsenal. These are the two primary methods. However, in the meantime, all kinds of GMO products and byproducts have been added to the arsenal of the population, and they come in the form of corn syrup, for instance, which is used as a sweetener in all confectionery. So every time your child eats a chocolate bar, he is getting his daily dose of sterilizing agent, whether it is the corn syrup made from a GMO plant or an artificial sweetener such as aspartame, which is also a sterilizing agent. The man responsible for introducing covert methods of depopulation to New Zealand nationwide in 1962 is Prime Minister Keith Holyoake. I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. All subsequent prime ministers of New Zealand have continued the genocide, and they are Norman Kirk, Bill Rowling, Robert Muldoon, David Lang, Jeffrey Palmer, Jim Bolger, Jenny Shipley, Helen Clark, and John Key. And by the way, Helen Clark was rewarded in 2009 for her services in the name of the global depopulation policy with the position of administrator of the United Nations Development Program. And you'll see this throughout the world. People who have been crucial to the depopulation program in their respective country have been rewarded with a position, a high-ranking position within the UN structure.
Which happened to have a $9 billion budget and a $9 million salary. And just for the record, the name of the first prime minister is Holyoake, and one of the other one is not David Lang, it's David Longy. But yes, go continue. Yes.
And I name names for every country, so I don't spare any punches. Everyone involved, his or her name will appear, has appeared, and is in this book as a historic record.
Did you mention Jenny Shipley? Because she was a prime minister here for a bit. Yes, okay.
Yes, sorry. I have. Jenny Shipley from 1997 to 1999. She is responsible for those 2 years. New Zealand hides its contraceptive prevalence use history in order to prevent the public from realizing that their low fertility has absolutely nothing to do with their use of contraceptives, and everything to do with the government's secret war or secret use of endocrine disruptors in the basic elements of life, water, food, and beverages, as well as dental products, which is how they subvert fertility. So basically, throughout the Western world, you know, using contraceptives is an exercise in futility.
Would you be able to explain in layman's terms what an endocrine is and what an endocrine disruptor does?
An endocrine disruptor is a chemical or artificial substance that interferes with the hormonal production that the glands throughout the human body create in order to regulate every system in the body, from digestion to growth to reproduction. So it affects an endocrine disruptor will by necessity affect not only the reproductive system, but the entire endocrine system, which is why we see these panoply of so-called illnesses of affluence, heart disease, diabetes, obesity, developmental disorders, neurological disorders, and so on. All of these so-called diseases of affluence have nothing to do with affluence and everything to do with the fact that we're being chronically poisoned with endocrine disruptors for the purpose of sterilization.
So in order to hit one thing, which is the reproductive system, they basically hit the whole body it's kind of like the opposite of a cure-all. It's a disease-all.
Yes, and you have to understand that the reproductive system is so deeply rooted in our physiology for a reason.
No pun intended.
Yeah, yes. For a reason, which is to to ensure the perpetuation of the species. This is the second most important instinct next to the survival instinct. So it is very, very difficult to undermine it. And you can only undermine human fertility by basically ruining the entire human health. And this is what they're doing. And this is why we see, for instance, that people who have not been subject to chemical sterilization methods are far healthier, even though they live in countries that have absolutely no medical system and, you know, no fancy medicines and no 300 doctors per 300, sorry, one doctor per 300 citizens, as it is in the Western world. The entire medical system deals basically with the after effect of this mass sterilization or covert mass poisoning program.
Okay,
in the name of population control.
Just in terms of the fluoride, so basically if you're living in a fluoridated city, you're drinking it, you're bathing it, you're putting your you're cooking your food with it, you're washing everything with it, and it can also enter the body through the skin and the pores, can't it? So there's no way to control the dosage.
No.
So somebody who like works really, really hard all day or something is like outside and they have to drink a lot of water, they're taking a lot of excess toxin in.
Yeah, and listen, many people think that, you know, they know all of the methods of sterilization and they can protect themselves and their family and, you know, they don't need to care about anybody else a damn. That is not the case. This program is conducted in such a way that nobody can escape it, not even the people who control the program.
Not even the
that's
fish.
That's how they justify it.
Even the animals and the fish and everything with all the toxins that are in our environment that we're putting in there, I mean, it must be messing up the all sorts of species, not just us.
Yes, but if they don't get you through fluoridated water, they will get you through through an artificial sweetener or through another endocrine disruptor or through a GMO or through a fertilizer or BPA plastics and so on, in one way or another, or even through vaccines, in one way or another, they will get you. You cannot protect yourself and your family. You can only sort of minimize the damage and, you know, be perhaps one step ahead of everybody else. But sooner or later, your genetic line will be extinguished. And we see from generation to generation, and the graphs that I provide, data I provide in this book, you know, for every country shows that as clearly as daylight. But to return to the data for New Zealand, to mask, you know, the anticipated drop in fertility as soon as fluoridated water was expanded nationwide from 1962 onward in New Zealand, the government approved the sale of the oral contraceptive pill in 1961 and the use of Depo-Provera injections in 1969. And we see this throughout the world, and they always use you know, all kinds of methods to hide the real method behind the drop in fertility. And the government of New Zealand has since perpetuated the myth that contraceptive use, which even today is no higher than 74%, and during the 60s and 70s was never higher than 30 and 40% respectively, is responsible for the country's low fertility. They also use other arguments such as, you know, well, yes, but the sterilization is very popular. A lot of people get sterilized. Well, that's not the case. The surgical sterilization cannot be used to hide the use of covert methods of depopulation, since surgical sterilization was not available until 1977. And remember that by 1978, the country had already reached replacement level fertility.
Given.
But in 1977, the Contraception, Sterilization, and Abortion Act was passed. However, by that time, it was passed as a way of masking the covert program of sterilization.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, Kevin, to cut you off, but we've come to the end of the show. But it just falls in line with my two general assumptions of life. If it comes from an official source, it's probably the opposite of what they're telling you it's for. And if you can't pronounce the word of an ingredient and you can't find it or make it in your own kitchen, then it's probably a soft-kill bioweapon. Thank you very much, Kevin. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And we will see you again sometime at AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation. What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much
stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. Additional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFI wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Vaccine, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included.
I don't like words that hide the truth. I don't like words that conceal reality. I don't like euphemisms. And American English is loaded with euphemisms because Americans have a lot of trouble dealing with reality. Americans have trouble facing the truth. So they invent a kind of a soft language to protect themselves from it. I'll give you an example of that. When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization. Smug. Greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. The government doesn't lie. It engages in disinformation. Israeli murderers are called commandos. Arab commandos are called terrorists. Contra killers are called freedom fighters. Well, if crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part of it to us, do they? Never mention that part of it.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are.
We are.
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.